I've enjoyed the music. That's a blessing. It's good stuff. Your church is a lot like ours. There's different things. If you were to come to my church, you'd be like, hey, you do that like we do. And there's a lot of similarities, but one of them just hit me a little while ago. You got all your wannabe husbands on the front row. I think it's a great idea. We do the same thing. We had a young man, he had sat up front, you know, just kind of that same look, that lonely, nobody likes me. I guess I'll just sit on the front. He sat there for years, and there was a little lady sat in the far back, and God dealt with her heart. He got things, and she got things. Over a year or two, I guess my wife and I watched Lord just work miracle after miracle, and we were just thinking, you know, somewhere in here, God's going to put the two together. And I began wondering, I wonder where they're going to sit, because she kept sitting in the back. He kept sitting up front. I don't know if he knew she was back there, and I don't know if she could see that far down to the front, but God put them together. And here, what, about a month ago, they got married, and they're sitting in the middle. So they sit right about in the middle on the left-hand side. I'm like, well, that's compromise for you right there. So anyway, I have no idea what that has to do with the message, but I felt like I need to say it. Thanks, as the pastor said, ladies, gentlemen, it's hard to really express what it means when you give up all your extra time to make a meeting work, all the food, all the prep, all the cleaning in between days, all the extra that you do, plus working a full-time job and living and et cetera, et cetera. My prayer is that the Lord just fills your cup. I mean that with all my heart. I watch our people when we have meetings and they give beyond what they're capable of. And I always pray, Lord, I can't do anything. What they really want, I can't give. They need the Lord. They want the Lord's visitation. And that's my prayer for you, is God's grace just richly fills what you came for. And that you find yourself going home with overwhelming amounts of, wow, look what the Lord gave us. Amen. And I know He can do that. And that's my prayer, that the Lord just blesses you this week. Thanks for the meals. I believe I am going home heavier than I came, without doubt. I already sense that. I'm being a prophet. I'm gaining weight this week. I'm prophesying that. But it's really, really been a blessing. It's encouraging to see the Lord use us all to serve Him. Let's take our Bible tonight, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We read this last night, so it is revisiting the exact same text as we noticed Peter, the author, probably had as good of an insight as anyone in Scripture as to what it meant to add to your faith these things that were necessary. And as we noticed last night, he said, give all diligence to add to your faith. So I believe he had a really good understanding of why. Let's pick it up in verse 5. He says in 2 Peter 1, 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Tonight, we're going to look at that word. What is virtue? Why is that important? What's the big deal? When you look it up in a dictionary, it's pretty easy to define, I guess. Honestly, it's got old language, it's got new language, and you can kind of figure out where, okay, about 1611, this is about what that meant. It's pretty easy to define. Why is it so important to add to your faith virtue? By God's grace, we're going to give all night to that simple subject. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, tonight I pray that you would open unto us your insight, your understanding, Lord, your wisdom. The Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Lord, the Bible concurs that you are capable of giving to all men liberally and upbraiding not. So Lord, we do want to ask in faith that you will give us what you have for us tonight, that we might leave your presence tonight having received that engrafted word, which is able to literally do things we cannot do by any means of our own. So Lord, please tonight, just take over, take the preaching, take the hearing, may it all be profitable in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. adding virtue to my faith. As we noticed over Sunday morning in specific, we took faith out of Luke 22, and we noticed that Peter had a kind of a revelation when the Lord said that, you're not ready for what's about to happen. There's trials, there's a tomorrow coming that you're not ready for. And Peter truly found out by the end of it, yeah, he wasn't ready. He thought he was, he thought he had this. He said, I'm ready to go with thee both unto death. And, he was ready to, in his mind, do whatever was required, but he found out he really wasn't. And the Lord said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. As we discovered in what faith is, we found out it really comes, its birth from hearing the Word of God. So what Peter did immediately was argue with the Word of God. Did you notice that? In Luke 22, his first comment was, no, Lord, you're wrong on that, because I've got this. Amen? Lord, I know you may be concerned, but I am solid. So immediately it proves that his faith was not really being fashioned by the right place. It was being fashioned by his own inert thought about himself. And as he did that, I think he discovered something about this first trait of virtue. And we'll get into why that is. But moving on from that, we noticed on Sunday morning that, there was a need to hear from the Word of God and then engage from what you hear from the Word of God. And then begin to understand based on what you hear from the Word of God. To have that substance be built, or the very stuff, the very filling, and the actual foundation or the evidence of what things that we hope for and things that we don't see. Just having all that together. And we begin to see that faith was really, it's not just one of those I'll wing it things. This will all work out. No, it's much deeper than that. And as Peter went through that challenge in life Sunday morning, as we studied it, we realized, we can go through those too. And by God's grace, I want a faith that doesn't fail. So last night, we discovered why Peter later in his life, almost at the end of his life, he said, give all diligence. Giving all diligence. I mean, get serious about this thing. Don't let this one go past you. Don't pretend like it doesn't matter. Give diligence to this issue of adding to your faith. And tonight, the first one that he identifies is virtue. Why? What is it? What's it all about? And to find that out, we're just going to do some Bible study again tonight. So look over to Proverbs 12. And let's discover just a couple simple realities about virtue. Proverbs 12 and verse 4. The Bible here says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. That's quite a difference, isn't it? Virtue versus shame. Virtue becomes a crown. Shame becomes rottenness. Virtue carries something with it, therefore, that is the antithesis, or it's the opposite of shame. It literally is the furthest pole from shame would be what virtue is. It's the opposite of that. Virtue is a bold wearing of a crown. It's something you're proud of. It's not in the bones. That you're hidden and can somewhat pretend isn't there. It's a public display. It's an outpouring of, look at what I have. It's a crown. Shame is something you hide. You hope no one finds. You hope it's not tested, because shame is very real. So virtue, therefore, is a word that indicates something that is where our strength comes out, where we showcase, where we perform at the peak of our level. The word virtue, if you were to just look it up and identify it in a dictionary format, you'd find it. It has also been used for the word of an army. We're near an air base, aren't we? I'm sorry. I don't know if you understand. There's actually people that walk on grounds with, they war fight on terra firma. No, in reality, that's the idea of an armament, or as an armament, an entire group of people put together for one purpose. And that's where virtuous is that idea of there's so much strength here, there's so much efficiency, there's so much effect from this that it's proud, it's a public display, it's like a crown to her husband. It's opposed in a word, it's opposed to the word of weakness or lone and without any help. It's the exact opposite of that. And from this simple comparison between a shame and a crown, or the rottenness and the boldness, from that simple comparison, we get some pretty good clarity on what we must add to our faith. We must add to our faith virtue. We could go through Scripture tonight and find there are people that struggled with that. They may be stayed hidden. They may be stayed low-key. Maybe they disappeared a little bit and never got involved. And the Lord's very clear. Add to your faith virtue. You see, virtue isn't an adjective. It is actually a verb. It's actually something that is who we are to be. And tonight, hopefully, we'll discover some more of this that helps all of us be able to glorify the Lord in who we are supposed to be. So let's consider that tonight as we go through this, what virtue is, and then how do I add it? How do I put virtue in my life? Peter said, and in verse, sorry, I've lost my place here, but he said in our text, add to your faith virtue. How do I do that? How do I add to that? First of all, we're going to need to look at the word character. Character is that which allows one to lead self. If you notice, it says in your text there, it says add, and it says beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add. That word add indicates you've got to get her done. You've got some addition to do. So whatever we have as far as faith, the word add means you're just starting on this. You need to put some stuff in there, right? You need to make this bigger. Character to lead self is a decision that an individual makes, and I don't believe it's just limited to men. I believe it's men and women, boys and girls. Anyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ has to make some decisions of, do I have what it takes to lead me? To understand I need to perhaps add to my faith. Does that make sense? Do I have the courage it's going to take to say, you know what, I'm not there. I'm not complete. I'm not finished. I'm not arrived. I'm not who I'm going to be tomorrow. I need to add to my faith. The word add indicates that there is something missing. I need to add to my faith. I'm not arrived. I know when most people get saved, like that first day they're saved, wow. You would look at them, and everyone would look at them and say, man, they've got it. They are there. I wish I could be there. When actually what the Lord's saying is, well, that's a starting place. That's a great place to start. Never forget that. That's the foundation. But you need to add to that. You have to have that character it takes to lead self. The idea of addition is incorporated in your old language skills or your old language studies. It's the idea of a leader of a chorus. So taking like you had up here a little while ago, all these different parts and drawing out all the parts in unison together and helping people hit their high notes and helping people hit their low notes, helping people hit no notes. Amen. And bringing it all out, like building it. That's the idea of addition, is we're going to bring this in and bring this in and bring this one up and pull this one over. That's what that's all about. It's someone who looks at life and says, I need to add. I need to get this all balanced and correct. Add is literally doing whatever it needs to make it happen. Whatever it takes, sorry, to make it happen. Look back, if you would, to Proverbs 31. And again, this is about a virtuous woman. But notice what it says about her. In Proverbs 31 and verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Virtue is literally doing what needs to be done, whatever it is, and that's kind of the concept here. Many daughters have done virtuously, but here's one who's done, you know, even more. They've excelled beyond that. So virtue there, therefore, it's doing whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get it done. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is not a place for passivity. To just sit back and say, yeah, we'll just kind of wing it. You know, to kind of see which way the wind's blowing and just go day by day. No, Christianity is a very aggressive life. It's a life of addition of, hey, what does God want me to do today? What is the purpose for my life today? Character to lead self. What is virtue? Well, to be honest, it's that invisible side that drives a man. You get two people in the same room, one makes it happen, one doesn't. Virtue's the difference. You get two folks sitting down reading their Bible, one focuses and makes himself stay alert and addresses the attention on what God's saying. The other just, it's words and their mind wanders. What's the difference? Virtue. You get two folks and they give 10 years of their life in the ministry. One just chips away and gets a lot done for the Lord. The other just kind of survives, makes it happen somehow, but just barely is there. What's the difference? Virtue. You get two people at work and one kind of has a job, barely. The other one, they can't keep him down. He just keeps rising up and he's management in no time. What's the difference? Virtue. It's a noun that says there's something inside that says, hey, whatever it takes, I'm strong enough to the task. I'm capable of this. Does that make sense? Many do virtuously, but this lady, it says, excelleth them all. Look over, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. You see, virtue is something you determine to do. Amen. Virtue is something you just decide, I'm going to do this. I don't know if this is going to be the greatest preaching that you've ever heard or not, but there is something inside in this comment that I hope you get. That part of Christianity is just sucking it up and doing it. Just saying, you know what? This is who I am. God wants me to rejoice in the Lord always. And this is not a rejoiceful day, but God told me to rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord told me to in everything give thanks. The Lord made very clear all these different things. And what's the difference between someone who doesn't and someone who doesn't? Virtue. Amen. Someone who internally says, I'm just going to do this. It may or may not feel good. It may or may not even be easy, but I'm going to do this. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any what? Virtue. If there be any praise, think on these things. Again, this identifies if there's something in there that has that oomph, that drive, that just I must do this, go for it. Think on these things. If it's not a challenge, hey, listen, let me say it this way. If lost people can do it, what's the big deal? If you can do it without even walk with the Lord, what's the big deal? Amen. I can sit in a pew or I can sit in a stadium. Doesn't take a whole lot of different skill sets. Amen. You know, you can do a whole lot of smiling and talking down at the restaurant. You can do it in church. If it doesn't take something deeper, then that's what God's dealing with. And he's saying, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when we consider the myriad of things that life has to offer, and this verse 8 kind of captures quite an identifier of that. When we think of all the things that life has to offer, few prove to be virtuous. Few of them prove to take all you have, to take the very depth of who you are and say, this is going to take you. You're going to have to invest in this, right? You're going to have to decide, I'm in or I'm not in. A few things do that, but God says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Some things in life build character. Amen? And honestly, Christianity is one of the key things that builds character. I found that every time God's Word opens, I find out, man, I'm a loser. My natural man stinks. I mean, I am so far below God's standard. He makes things sound like it's a no-brainer. Just be able to, a simple verse like, if thou be a man given to appetite, put a knife to thy throat. And I'm like, I see that pecan pie down there tonight, preacher, and I'm like, glad there's no knives around. I'll just put a fork to my mouth. You know, that's close. I'm just saying, God puts things out there so simple, and yet it takes everything we got just to do it. If there be any virtue, the idea of adding to your faith virtue is just because you have a foundation. I love the Lord. I trust the Lord. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, praise the Lord. Faith is your the stuff. It's the substance. It's the foundation. It's the evidence. But I'm telling you what, you're going to need some oomph to put on top of that. Something inside that says, I'm up to the task. I'm going to do this. If God didn't think I was capable of doing this, I wouldn't be sitting in these shoes. But I am. Apparently God thinks I'm ready for this. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is that character to lead yourself. We have a lot of young men in our church training for the ministry at different times. And it's one of the things I always ask them. I say, so you think you're ready to lead? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm ready to lead. So, well, you lead yourself first and then we'll talk about it. Once you believe in what you're willing to lead, then we'll see if your wife believes in it. Once you and your wife and your children believe in it, pretty good chance that you got some leadership in you. Amen? But until then, lead self. Virtue is that character to lead self. Just by thinking on them, it says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, and it goes through all these things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Can I say maybe a little different level of this? Men of virtue, they ponder things that challenge them. They think on these things. It bothers them. They go home after service and they don't flip on the idiot box or whatever else distracts them. They ponder these things. They meditate on these things. They search the scripture to see if these things be so. It bothers them that God asks of them this level and they're struggling to hit this level. And it's a fluctuation down here, and it bothers them. And by the way, we'll always be there. It's a good thing to always be inferior to your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He has never run out of to-do lists for us. Amen. One day, you'll step into His glory, and by God's grace, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you and I will probably be the first one to say, that's a good thing. Amen. But good men, as it says here, they'll go think on these things. They'll go back and say, Lord, this is virtue. And this is going to take praise. Like if this happens, I'm going to have to give you all the glory and all the thanks and all, because I don't have this. Yeah, think on these things. Virtue is that character to lead yourself where you're not ready to go. Go back if you had to 2 Peter and notice what it says in verse 3 of chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and just notice what God's called us unto. It says in verse 3, according to His divine power, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't that good? That's good right there. That'll preach. God's given us everything. But look at this at the end. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has called us to virtue. God has called us, and therefore God has equipped us to be up to the task. Peter says this, add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. It's not an adjective. Add to your faith virtue, this noun of character to lead yourself, this strength, this resiliency. Men that are in one day and out the next day, they're up and down like a yo-yo. I don't know. I've never been a woman, so I don't have any identifiers to all that they go through. Aren't you glad? Some of you are smiling like, yeah, that's That's good, because you'd make an ugly one. Yeah, amen. But the fact of the matter is they go through things I've never had to step through in my life. But I tell you what, I've seen men act just like that, like they're up, down, in, out, in, out. There's something inside of virtue that says, no, sir. No, sir. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get out of bed. Go do what you're supposed to. This is God's will for your life. That's what virtue is. It's that character inside that says, I can't fail. Peter heard the cock crow and something gave in him. You say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, I don't know. Honestly, he was under a different level of demonic warfare that I've ever been through. I've never seen the sun go dark. I've never seen the Son of God give his life like that. You know, in the reality, he was walking through some dark valleys. But I do know this, he didn't suck it up and do it. And later on in his life, he said, you need to add to your faith virtue. I don't think Peter ever lost his faith, but his faith failed because he didn't add to his faith virtue. What is the difference between Paul and Demas? Why did Paul keep going after, things like shipwreck and problems like enemies in and out and thieves in and out the cities? You know, what made the difference between a guy like Paul and a guy like Demas? I believe it comes down to one had the virtue to say, no, sir, I must. The ministry of God has been committed unto me. I cannot not do this. I believe one of them had virtue. The other had missed that. And he looked over and he said, you know what? I love this present world. I'm just going to go taste over there. Take a bit of a gander at what the present world looks like. One left, one could not. One had virtue. One was able to change. I tell you what makes the difference. I believe in a church when you get people that go through the same struggles as the person next door to them, the same ideas that people have, and one, they grow stronger through it. The other one, they grow further away from it. What's the difference? Sometimes it's just plain old virtue. That character inside that says, I'm in. I am in what the Lord wants me to have. Amen. Can I say it this way? I think one of the most needed things in churches or in any Christian's life is just figure out, are you in? Are you for real? Is this all you can be? And if it is, man, roll up your sleeves. Go for it. Say, what if it eats my lunch? Then let it eat your lunch. Amen. You got to die from something. May as well die right. Go serve the Lord. Strength not only to have the character to lead self, but then secondly, the strength to help others. The strength to help others is what virtue is. And we asked ourselves a couple of questions kind of starting tonight. What is virtue? And some, you know, where do I get it? What's it all about? And we noticed from the definition that it has character wrapped in it, that strength, that resiliency, that determination to simply help us be Christ-like. And so what's that all about? It says in Luke 6, if you go over there, Luke 6 and verse 19, it's got a uniqueness about this issue of virtue that's worth noticing here. Luke 6 and verse 19, it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue of him and healed them all. What's that all about? Just to touch and have virtue come out and be able to heal. I would say there was something Christ had, obviously, that was tangible, that was real, it was efficacious. There was power in there, there was strength in there was ability in there. Virtue is that which helps others. It has that strength to help others. You remember when Peter failed or was getting ready to fail, and the Lord says this, when thou art converted, what did he say? Strengthen thy brethren. Absolutely. There's something about virtue that I think Peter realized later in his life. I couldn't help my brethren. I was the guy that failed. If you follow Peter's life, it was kind of a lonely road until he met the Lord after the Lord decided it was finally time to somewhat rekindle that flame. It was kind of a lonely road. Peter didn't know, where do I stand? I mean, am I even welcome here? When the disciples were closed aside in the room, he was the one kind of struggling with, am I supposed to be here? Should I be here? There's various times in those days, in those hours, that Peter really struggled. He wasn't helping anybody. He was really probably drawing the strength from others, if anything. Christ had power in him, and it says they touched him, and their virtue went out. What I'm saying tonight is, add to your faith virtue. There's something serious about a man who is so strong, or a woman who's so strong, their integral relationship with God is so strong that someone else can come in the back door and need some help, and they'll come see you. They'll sit down beside you and say, brother, can I talk to you for a minute? We're going through a thing in our home, and I know you've been through some things. How are you doing it? How did you do that? There's something tangible about an individual that has internal strength that others can see. Amen. I believe churches need men and women like that. Amen. Titus 2 calls them aged men and aged women. They need men and women that can sit down in an audience like this and others that are suffering say, I need you right now. I need some help. I need someone to weep with me or laugh with me, or a twofold cord or a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. I need some help. Add to your faith virtue. You see, faith without virtue is a vulnerable faith. It's the strength of your virtue must be added to your faith. You got to be the one to do that. Add strength. By the way, when you add strength, it can never be yours. Did you notice that? Christ is where our strength is at. Christ is never changing. Add that virtue. Christ is never depressed. Add that virtue. Christ is ever willing. Add that virtue. Christ is fully able. Add that virtue. Christ is never insecure. Add that virtue. Christ is always optimistic. Add that virtue. Determine in your soul, like Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4, I can do all things through Christ. Just an internal resilience that says, I got this. Not because of me, but because of the Lord. And I have a foundation in my life. It's rock solid, like Sunday morning we talked about that faith. And that foundation is not me. It is not mine. It is His. I can do this. To me, one of the saddest things is when people jump ship. When they know where God's got them, and they know God's asked them to do something, it's impossible for them, right? By the way, God will always ask you to do something impossible. To where you realize, I can't do this. And God says, you got it now. Now you're on board. And when they jump ship, to me, that's one of the saddest things. When they realize, I wasn't willing to add to my faith virtue. In my life, this may not make sense to you. It may only make sense to me. I don't know. But in my life, I've found there's times God lets me go right up to the edge of failure before I find that He's willing to step down and say, now that you're not giving up, I'll help you across the line. Right up to the very last second, realizing, Lord, I'm going to do this, but I can't. Amen. That's what virtue is. It's that strength. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, you remember this virtuous lady who excelleth them all. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 makes this comment about virtue, which I think is very helpful. It says this, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Now that's the Proverbs 31 lady there. It's a Proverbs 31 mother that's instructing a Proverbs 31 son in this issue, if you wanted to do the full gamut. But literally what it's identifying to me is virtue's not on every block. There's pillars in the church. There's solid men in the church. There's stable women in the church. And God's identifying, when you find virtue, you've got something really good. Who can find a virtuous woman? They're not everywhere. I would say, who can find a virtuous church member? They're not everywhere. We can all look good. We can all act good. We can all quack good when we're together quacking. But the fact of the matter is, when you find someone with internal strength, enough strength to lead themselves through the valley of the shadow of life, at some stage, that's the same person who can help someone else in church. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Look over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 46. It appears that virtue is a strength that is always set aside for someone else's benefit. Luke 8:46 says this of, that is not the right verse. It looked good. Oh, I'm in John. Pardon me. John 8:46 looks different than Luke 8:46. There we go. Luke 8 and verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Very similar to what we read earlier. But it seems like virtue is set aside not for self-benefit. In the world, and this may have, virtue may sound somewhat like a self-promotion speech or something. It's really not. It's about determining, I got to do this for my wife. I got to do this for my kids. I got to do this for my church member. I'm going to do this for my Lord. I'm going to do this for lost people. I'm going to do this for the minister. I'm going to do this for my preacher. I'm going to stick by the stuff because someone else needs this. I mean, encourage you. You may or may not fully understand this, but when your preacher stands up behind this pulpit, it may seem like he's got the world on fire and he has got all the strength he needs. But once in a while, it's good for a preacher to look out and say, you know what? I got some virtuous men and some virtuous ladies out here that are rock solid, whether I'm preaching with all the excitement I need to or not. There's some strength right here. And there's a feeding back and forth. Does that make sense? A bit of an encouragement that can go. And Jesus said this, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. What's the value of having virtue if you don't benefit someone else? Amen. Peter said, add to your faith virtue. Psalm 66 and verse 16. I'll go fairly quickly through some of these for time's sake. Psalm 66 and verse 16. The Bible says this, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I'd say virtue takes a little bit of vulnerability. Vulnerability that says, I'm willing to talk about it. Touch me. Find out what you got. Touch what you need to. Ask the questions you need to. I'm willing to have those conversations. Virtue is a character to lead self, but it's also a strength to lead others. Amen? As a young Christian, Peter had a lot of talk. Like most Christians. Right? Probably like most guys. Amen? A lot of thought. Most of it was about himself. If you read Peter's early life, it was, I will, what about me? What about, and I will. You read later in his life and he realized, I missed something. I missed what it was all about. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue was that one task that Peter would have found that talk really wasn't what it was all about. He had the talk, but he didn't have the virtue, okay? And I think he would have realized, and he did later in life, that he missed that character to lead himself. Amen. He missed that one area of his life that said, you know what, are you really up to this task? Well, he wasn't, but he could have been. Amen. Later in life, he found out life needed him to be strong. I'll just share this with you and we'll kind of wrap this up. This is kind of an unknown quantity from a preacher's point of view. But I'm looking out here tonight and there's a lot of families and a lot of connections right in your pews right here. And my thought would be that probably at some stage every one of your homes needs someone rock solid. Someone who's not for sale. Someone who may not understand how to verbalize it, but they know, you can touch me and you'll get my strength because we're not moving. Amen. Every home needs that. Because Satan's very good at coming along and finding a weak moment when someone's not standing strong. And when you get two tied together and one's strong and the other's struggling, I tell you what, you need that strong one. Every church needs some strong men to where when there's chatterboxes in the back room, there's some men, some women that stand up and say, no, sir, no, ma'am. That is not the case. And we will not go there. There needs to be that strength, that resiliency, that determination. That's what virtue is. Add to your strength virtue. I do not know how to preach this topic because it is the internal oomph that must be there because God stirs you so much that you say, I'm going to make this happen. I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to figure out how to do this. Amen? I remember when God first called me to preach, and maybe I shared this with you a few years ago when I was here. If I did, I apologize. But I remember when God first called me to preach, I was like the quietest guy in the world when it came to any public speaking. So I was like, Lord obviously has the wrong guy. Well, he'll work that out. He'll get that pretty soon. But he never got that. And so I began going down. We had a ranch. I'd go down to the end of the road where the gate was. And every evening when we'd drop the hay at the gate, the cattle would come. So all you have to do is go rattle that gate and the cattle would come and they'd be ready for that feed. Any ranchers in here? You know, a couple of you. Okay. All right. So they knew when the feeding time was coming. So I'd go down there, I'd rattle the gate, and here come the cattle. And they'd come up. They'd stand there about 20 feet away looking at me like, where's the tractor? Where's the hay? I'd open my Bible and I'd start preaching to them. And I'd be preaching and those cattle, they'd be chewing, you know how cattle do, and they'd kind of roll their eyes and slobber down. And it was good training, actually. What do you think about it? They'd moo a little bit. I took that as an amen. But I'd get, this is embarrassing, but I'd get shaken in front of those cows. My knees would start quaking. I'd lose my thought. I'd be shaken. And I'm like, these are cows. Lord, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. And I remember as a young man, I struggled with that a lot. And the Lord, in His grace, I think He reached down to me and said, well, son, you don't have a choice. You are going to do this. And somewhere in there, I think this identity began to take fashion in a small place in my life where I had to add to my faith. It wasn't just good enough to, I believe the Lord, I'm going to heaven when I die. I had to add some oomph that says, all right, I'm in. I don't want this. I don't even like people. I told your pastor today, I don't even like people. You know, jokingly, kind of. I mean, I'm no good at this. And God says, well, get good, because that's your life. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? God's given you some things. And if you're saved, you don't have a choice in those things. Grow up time. Where you pull up the bootstraps, and you tighten your belt, and you gird yourself on. You say, well, this is what I must do. God wants me to do this. I'm going to have to get with it. Because if I don't, there's a little wife, some little children, they're going to pay an awful price. Peter failed. There's no telling what may have been different in his personal life. We don't have any insight on this. But I do know this in my life. I'm not willing to pay the price of failure for the Lord calling me to do something and me not being willing or able to do it. And I suggest for you, there's two very key areas that God wants you to do. If you go back into Luke 22, we'll close with this. Luke 22, where we picked up Sunday morning in verse 32, it says, I have prayed for thee. Luke 22, 32. This is Christ. I have prayed for thee, number one, that thy faith fail not. That's that character to lead self. That's it. That's what virtue is. That thy faith fail not. You with me? Like, don't fail. Don't blow it. That thy faith fail not. And then look at the second thing. He says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's the second half of virtue. When you get past this, you need that strength to help and lead others. And it was in Acts chapter 15 where Peter was called upon in some very clear ways and other times and earlier in Acts when he was called upon to be a leader in some amazing things for the Lord's house there at Jerusalem. to where he had to literally carve through some things and be a very strong pillar for God. And all I'm saying is that at some stage he learned that. And you and I need to learn that too. Add your faith virtue. I believe as men and women of a church like this, much of what I've preached tonight you already have. But there may be someone in here tonight that you're kind of on the fence. You're playing the game. Maybe you're saved. But maybe you're not just giving it that oomph, that drive, that you're all. And if I could, as a guest preacher, if I can say anything that maybe you maybe shouldn't, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Let me say it this way. Get in the game. Amen. Get in. Grow up, suck it up, man up, cowboy up, whatever you do. Get in there. Put on your spurs. Put your hat on tight. Get your little lasso under if you need. Get in and do it. The Lord deserves it. The Lord loved you, like we heard in Sunday school Sunday morning. God's love is so real to us. Of course we want to love Him back. So He's done all that. Let's get in the game for Him. Amen? Let's serve Him. I'm going to have a word of prayer and turn it straight over to the pastor.